Blog Talk Radio.
I don't wanna be that lie to make a second guess who I'm representing. No, I'm not perfect. No, I'm not ashamed to confess. I just want you to see that I'm trying. And no, it's not a game. Ain't gonna lose no sleep over what people say.
This thing, it needs to be said. Y'all don't really get the picture. Focus your attention on what really matters instead. Believe it or not, I'm with ya. Don't get too caught up in what you see on the ground. I will stay high for you, cause that's just all I am.
I want to welcome you to Women Speak Now with our guest hostess tonight, evangelist, prophetess, minister, and whatever God calls her in the fivefold. We are so elated to have Prophetess Charlene going to bless us tonight. I'm excited. I hope you are too. Woman of God, thank you. We appreciate you, and don't ever take it for granted that God is not pleased and that God is not watching what you're doing. And he's just wanting me to share that with you tonight before we began. And let me start us off in prayer. Yes. Heavenly Father God, okay. In the mighty name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for Women Speak Now. We thank you for our courageous women that come and speak your word truthfully, but also are willing to hear a word from other women that they now become like-minded with the same voice. So we thank you tonight. We thank you tonight that we don't come here or leave here the same. We come dedicated to leave, change, rearrange, and transform by the renewing of our minds. We thank you for every listener, those that are here now, those that will come later, and those that will listen in the archives, that they become blessed as well as we are. So, Lord, we glorify you tonight. We magnify you tonight. We lift you up tonight. We just sit at your feet tonight, Lord, and we listen for your voice through Prophetess Charlene, that as she ministers and as she shares, that we hear your voice, hear your direction, your plan for our activation in life. So have your way tonight like never before.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name we pray. Let the church say amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you for the prayer.
Amen.
Thank you, everyone, that's tuning in. And truly, God has been dealing with my spirit. I know for the past few years in this ministry, God has shocked me with titles for different messages and everything. And I always say, Lord, you know, what do you want me to say to the people? Or, you know, there was a season I felt like God had his belt out. I was like, oh, Lord, I don't want to think I'm angry at him. I'm mad at him. But it was for me as well as for the feeling compelled to speak the things that was on my spirit to say. So I just thank God for this platform, for the opportunity to be here. I don't take it for granted. Truly, my spirit is always stirred when I come on here because I'm excited. And then I'm like, oh, Lord, you know, because I'm praying and I'm really trying to be so very careful with what I say, because I oftentimes, as the Lord puts on my spirit to go back and listen to the replay, I feel the spirit, you know, just bringing a reminder to me to just keep my heart sensitive and tender to him, and to know that, you know, we're all going through, the saints of God, the people of God, we're going through, you know, the trials and testings that we're going through from both sides, from God and from the enemy, because the enemy doesn't want to see us victorious. He hates God. He doesn't want to see us overcome ourselves, sin, the world, our idiosyncrasies, our shortcomings, and the list goes on. But because of Jesus, because of the great sacrifice and the precious gift from God, we not only have hope, we have expectancy that we are overcoming, we will overcome, we will only by the grace and the love and the ability of God make it to see his face in peace. That's the focus. The focus is to see God's face in peace. Otherwise, we're all doing these things just for nothing, doing it because of whatever, if there are, God sees those all things. We have to continue to search our hearts. And the Bible says, if he who thinks he stands, or she, take heed lest we fall. We have to be so very careful that our walk is with God. As we're walking with God, we learn about ourselves. We learn how much we have to really overcome ourselves. But the press of the heartbeat of God is for souls. He loves our souls, saints. He loves us too much to leave us in a broken, damaged condition of realizing, yeah, we always say that we're not perfect. But the Bible tells us that we're fearfully and we're wonderfully made. Being born in sin, can you imagine how much God has already dug out of us? How many years or weeks or days have you been saved if you were to calculate it? And how much has God been reminding us one by one, instance by circumstance, by situation? Yeah, you're overcoming, but yeah, just keep on pressing on. You're gaining territory. You're gaining land. In the land and territory I'm talking about is the good ground, the ground of learning the walk of God and the kingdom of God. The mindset of God is not like what we would think in our human thoughts. The mindset of God comes from a place of love, comes from a place of correction, comes from a place of rebuke and chastisement, because he is trying to get his bride ready. He is looking for his church to love more one another. We always say the harvest, God, the harvest. But God said the church. I need the church to love each other. Why is there such a delay in this great harvest we always talk about? Is it because God is looking for his church to get right church, so let's go home, get right church so we can reach others and not make him ashamed when they come amongst us and see how we are or are not getting along? I know it sounds rough. It sounds hard. Say, wow, 2022, we're still not getting along. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I my sister's keeper? Well, that being said, God is giving me some questions to ask tonight. And I know Pastor E has you know, spoken to all of us to, come on, just push yourself a little further. This is something that has never, ever been done before. And I always say, you know, get out of your comfort zone. But I don't want to be all chatty and all that and be all deep and all of that. But I do want to share what's been put in my spirit. And the amazing thing is God has been impressing this on my spirit for a long time now, but it's in his time. A word spoken in due season. A word spoken just like if you were speaking it or whatever God's put in your spirit. And, it, and I'm right at the right place. Not right, R-I-G-H-T, but R-I-P-E. I'm at the right place in my walk, God, where God wants to take something out, where he wants to plant something in. He kind of like, so I'm asking God to do surgery on the church tonight. I'm asking God to heal, to comfort, to encourage and build up and gird up and hold up. My God, some of you, can, if you could imagine a sheep, a lamb around the Savior's neck and he's carrying it. You know, we talk about the footsteps in the sand, and that there's times when we thought we were walking all along because we only seen one set of footsteps, but it was God, it was Jesus that was carrying us through the tough times and the processes that we couldn't hardly grasp and really try to get a hold of. I don't know about you, but I always try to get a hold of kind of what, whatever this guy wants me to do, I wish I could just get a hold of that thing and fix it. But I realize, no, I can't do it on my own. I need the Spirit of God. I need the Word of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So this is When to Speak Now Be Heard. I'm Prophet Charlene, and the speaker each month, each first Thursday broadcast. This year is going to be a year. We realize that deliverance and giving out and pouring out. This is a unique ministry. By God's grace, we're able to share truths from the Word of God as the Spirit of God compels us to speak forth, to decree, and to declare the heart, mind, and the will of our God. Hallelujah. Things are in order to give God the glory, to give God the praise, to thank Pastor E, to thank the other men and women of God who pour out their heart and share from the Spirit of God. God bless each and every one of you. Truly, soul winning is not easy, but it is something God does by his Spirit. Now, before I go into detail about this message, I just want to say I never intend to come on this broadcast to take an advantage to use this platform, to use it in any way, but to definitely speak forth what God compels me to say. And as I always say, you know, hey, God is working on all of us. We just have to give him that unwavering, yes, Lord, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And I want to thank God for the listeners, those on the call, those on the internet. God bless you. Truly present going out for all that have experienced loss during this pandemic and during this unique time. Truly prayers are going up that God will comfort the heart and just bring strength and, you know, help us endure this unique time that we never would have seen coming right as soon as it has manifested. But truly God is in the midst. He is here. He said he'll never leave us and that he's with us always. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So there's some questions that I have posted on my page, and I'm going to mention them right now so that before the broadcast is over, if you have any answers, by all means, you're welcome to call in or type in your answer or your questions, and maybe we can get into that tonight where, you know, it's open call. I don't want to feel like I have all the answers because I really don't, but I'm giving everyone or anyone the opportunity to call in. And so tonight's message is this message tonight for February 3rd, 2022 is if you love God, stop hating me. Oh, I got to say that one more time. If you love God, stop hating me. Let's go into prayer one more time for this message. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I'm asking for clarity of the message, Lord, that it makes sense, Father God, that we're tugging on your heart tonight, God, that you will begin to pour it out of your spirit, oh God, and that you will begin to strengthen us and heal us and operate and take out those things, oh God, that you see that would cause the things that you're looking at in the body of Christ, Father, that we our hearts would be in the right place, Lord God, because truly, Lord, you are looking for us, Lord God, to love even more than we have already, oh God. But because of all these things we have gone through and all these tests and trials and experiences we have gone through, Lord, and Father God, bitterness has set in, anger has set in, frustration has set in, God, but you're the only God who understands it all. So I'm asking that you go deep, oh God, and begin to excavate and begin to heal and begin to comfort and take out the infections, oh God. Oh God, that we will leave this place, God, with a spirit, oh God, of peace, knowing that, God, you are the Prince of Peace. And I ask you for the faith, and everybody say, God, have your way in me, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Bless God. Hallelujah. I was thinking, oh, what's going to be named this message? I didn't know what to name it, but we're going to travel to the book of Genesis, and hopefully this title message will make a lot of sense with that. So we're going to go to Genesis chapter 4, a very familiar passage of scripture, verses 1 through 9, talking about Cain and Abel. And when I was praying, I was like, Lord, how is this message going to come out? Because of when I talk about feeling the vexation of spirit, sometimes whenever I feel it, the way that God has impressed me in my spirit, it makes me feel in my spirit that God is letting me know that he's displeased with some things. And when he's displeased, if it's a message that he has me to speak about or to speak to any specific person about, I try to use caution because I don't want them to think it's me and that I have an attitude and I'm coming at them and I'm attacking them. But truly, God sees the division, the dividing separation of what's going on in that dynamic. So here we are at Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. And the Bible says, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. Verse 2. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Let me read that part again. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. Oh, my God. And the Lord, somebody shout the Lord, had respect, oh, my God, unto Abel and to his offering. Verse 5. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. Oh, my God. Verse 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. We have to take a pause here at these first seven verses in this chapter of Genesis chapter 4, my God, 1 through 7, because we're going to continue the other two. But God gave me this dynamic of two brothers. One, my God, that gave an offering unto God of his sheep. This is something that's alive, oh, my God. This is something that's living. This is something, my God, when God says offer him a bullock back in the day, they had to offer God bullock, my God, for the remission of their sins. They had to go to the priest and bring a bullock or a bullock or whatever. They had to bring God's blood to be shed, the sins to be forgiven, for them to be, my God, for my sins, back in God. When they confess before the Lord, I'm telling you today. So during this particular time, and it says like this, Abel gave a priest, he gave a sheep out of his, my God, out of his flock, unto God, as his offering. And Cain, my God, he was a tiller of the ground, so he brought the fruit from the ground. But God didn't respect that offering. He said, well, why didn't he respect it? Because that was his career. That was his thing that he was doing. Because it was just something he could always get. But God was able to give a live and living sacrifice. Hallelujah. Ask your neighbor, am I your brother's keeper? Really? Are you my brother? Do I matter to you to take care of me?
What color?
The
material.
When God went to him about it, because here we go in verse 8, and Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up to
silver.
Abel, his brother, and slew him. See, Cain was jealous, and I know we all talk about jealousy and envy, but Cain didn't like the fact that God regarded and accepted and respected Abel's offering. You know, he didn't give God what God may have required from him, but he gave him that fruit from the ground. So that time, again, in that time, they were giving Moloch and they were giving these things to God. Here we find out here in verse 9, and the Lord said to Cain, where is thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's king?
So the smallest.
Cain didn't care that he took his brother's life.
How many smalls is it?
He didn't care, my God, was looking for a living sacrifice, something that was going to be, some blood that was going to be shed for their sins. Cain had the wrong spirit. See, if you love God, you won't hate me. If I love God, I will not hate you. See, God said, if you hate your brother, you are a murderer. See, they're not really murdering your brother, your sister, literally, but in the spirit realm, how many folk have put their mouth on you and talked about you, slandered your name, gossiped about you, pretended to treat you as a brother or a sister, only to try to twist any genuine pouring out or confession or communication to turn around and slander and try to use it against you? Are you hearing me on today? Are you my brother's keeper? Do you love God? If you love God, stop hating me. Are you telling me on today? Oh, my God, from glory. This is a dynamic of the body of Christ today. God sees those loving, and he's in Karabashada, and he sees those hating. Oh, my God, from glory. You know the story about Jesus. They hated him without a cause. He said, marvel not if the world hates you. Jesus said, it hated me before it hated you. See, you're going to expect and recognize that hate would come from the world because they're the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. That spirit disregards and does not respect the spirit of God. Are you playing with me on today? So if you're walking in the spirit, like we say we're walking with the Lord, then the love should come forth from our spirit to one another. Hallelujah. I should love you enough, not only to pray for you, sincerely pray for you. Oh, my God, to intercede for you. Hallelujah. To pray for your welfare. To pray for my God, that God will move in a mighty way in your situation. Oh, my God, that God will come through for you. My God, that not only as we're praying and interceding fervently, my God, but believing God for the results, believing God for the manifestation, my God, of the healing and the comfort that we truly seek God for. Hallelujah. I am. Tell your neighbor, I am. Tell yourself, I am my brother and my sister's keeper. I will not use my tongue to slander. I will not use my tongue to gossip. I will not use my tongue to say false things and disrespect things in the face of God, my God, against my brother or against my sister. Are you praying with me on today? Hallelujah. Abel was murdered by Cain. Oh, my God. His brother. Here we go to verse 10 of Genesis chapter 4. And God was speaking. The Bible says, and he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. How many of you, saints of God, people of God, have been crying out to God, oh, my God, from the injustice of your quote-unquote so-called supposed to be brother keeper? They're not keeper. You. They're not encouraging you. They're not, my God, warning you. What is the kingdom of God like? The kingdom of God, Jesus was clear. He said, oh my God, a parable in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44. He said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man has found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Verse 47, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full, they drew the shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, oh my God, but cast the bad away, oh my God. And the Bible says in 49, so shall it be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just. Oh my God. Verse 50, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. What is it going to take for us to realize that God is there? We should be our brothers and our sisters' keeper. Oh, my God. We can't mishandle this thing. I said we can't mishandle this thing because God's not playing. God wants us to walk in love genuinely and sincerely. He's looking for it. Hallelujah. He's looking. He told my God, Cain, he said, what hast thou done? A brother's keeper would not kill their brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My God, where God said, now they're crying unto me. Who has been crying unto God? Lord, I've been mishandled. Lord, I've been, my God, abused, oh God. Taken advantage of, mistreated, oh my God. And this is my brother and my sister. And you know what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 4, verse 11. And God said, what? And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. God was saying, Cain, no, you're guilty. You're guilty. If you love God, stop hating me. How many of you have felt intense hatred? Oh, my God, there's a list you can keep on adding for racism. And my God, just, my God, anti-Christ, anti-God. Oh, everybody thinks you're cussing at them when you say repent, when you say change, when you can't tell somebody what to do. But this is the kingdom. This is the message from heaven. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's not an old message. It's a now message. The harvest is not a new message. It's a message now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's a now message. Hallelujah. And what he said in verse 12, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. He told Cain, a fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. God was letting him know, you did this, but this is what's going to happen, Cain, to you. Because he did this thing. Hallelujah, in God's face. He didn't think God was going to say something, I guess, but God had called him out on it. Hallelujah. In verse 13, and Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Oh, was he thinking about that when he took his brother's life? Come on, somebody. Was he thinking about that when he gave God an offering from the ground? And God said, you know, you should be ruling over sin. Why is your countenance falling? You should be ruling over the sin. It shouldn't be ruling over you. Come on, somebody. Verse 14. God said, Cain said, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond of the earth. And it shall come to pass that every one that fights me shall slay me. And look at God, what he said, verse 15. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Now, start to name the message, don't worry about your enemies, because God will deal with him. But God gave me, if you love God, stop hating me. Hallelujah. If we love God, how are we hating him? How are we hating Jesus? How are we hating one another? By God, by being jealous and undermining and sabotaging and doing the things that God says, I see, Cain, you're guilty. I see that you're not, you know, care about being the brother's keeper, your sister's keeper. Come on, somebody. Oh, my God. Hallelujah. And the Lord gave me this psalm. Hallelujah. We're going to travel and skip it right over here to Psalm 115. Hallelujah. And I know you should have Psalm 119, and we'll be here all night long reading that because I love Psalm 119, but I'm not going to do that to y'all. But Psalm 115, it says it pretty clearly about the mindset of those that, my God, whose heart, my God, are not right in the eyes of God, where their heart is at. The Bible tells us in verse 1 of Psalm 115, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God, somebody shout out loud, but our God is in the heaven, done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Oh, my God, noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. Oh, my God. So with everyone that trusted in them, let's pause right there. That's enough right there. See, this is about the mammon, the spirit of loving money. But he said in verse 8, they that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusts in them. So you mean to tell me a person can have a mouth, my God, like a statue, and they won't even speak? They can have eyes to see, but I don't want to see their situation, their issue, because I'm not going to go help them. I don't want nothing to do with them. So I just overlook like a Pharisee, like a Sadducee. Are you praying with me on today? They have ears, but they don't hear. What in the world? In verse 7, they have hands, but handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. What kind of spirit is this? Oh, my God. Hallelujah. We must be so very careful. Oh, my God, when we say we love God. God said, can I see this when I look at your heart? When you tell God, when we say, God, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. We always say more. I want more, Jesus, more of you. I want so much more. And we're asking God for the more of him to come in and dwell in us. We want to dwell in his presence. We know in his presence is fullness of joy. Oh, we just can't have enough. We just want so much of his love and joy in us. Okay, amen, and praise the Lord. But what he said is blessed to give than to receive. Come on. Oh, yeah, he'll give it to us. But what? He expects us to give it out. Hallelujah. He expects us, oh, my God, to give it and share, my God, the love of God. They call about shouting out about tata with one another. Again, we stay with the lost. Oh, yeah, don't get it twisted. With the lost. But God said, with the body of Christ, with your brothers and sisters in Christ, if you love God, stop hating me. Oh, my God, from glory. Oh, my God. And we find out here, hallelujah, in 1 John 4, verse 8, the word of God says, he that loveth not, knoweth not God. Uh-oh. For God is love. People will have this mantra. They'll have this vision to say, love God and love people and serve others and do this and do that. But God says, if you love me, stop hating one another. If you love me, stop hating your brother and your sister. If you love me, be your brother and your sister's keeper. Oh, my God. And God said, don't just do the action. He said, mean that thing. Do it with compassion. Do it with, my God, benevolence. Do it, oh, my God, with goodwill from the heart. Hallelujah. 1 John 4, you caught up a Sunday. 1 John 4, verses 7-10 says, beloved, let us love one another. What was that first word? Mm-hmm, you got it. Beloved. Beloved. We're addressed. The saints of God are addressed with beloved. Let us love one another. Uh-oh, for love is of God.
We always like to talk about what the devil is not, because, you know, he ain't nothing no good. We know that. He don't have any act right in him, and he's going to the pit, and he's going to the lake. We already know what the word says. When he goes there, he's not going to go laughing. Mm-mm. God let me know he's going to go there screaming. Hallelujah, because he's going to meet his doom. But the Bible tells us, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Hallelujah. And everyone that loveth, oh my God, hallelujah, is born of God. Uh-oh, and knoweth God. Y'all know. We don't know God like the back of our hand. All we have is Genesis and Revelation. But God has allowed us to get this peekaboo, as it were, to know what God is all about. God is love. And the Bible tells us in verse 8 of 1 John chapter 4, even loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. And verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Now, isn't that exciting to know? Because of what God has done, because of the gift from heaven, from glory, it is the focus that we, my God, might live through him. So we die out to ourselves, amazingly, but we live through him. Hallelujah. Herein, somebody say it again. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. You can look at yourself and say, well, am I really worthy of the love of God? I can say, well, no, Lord, I wasn't always nice. I wasn't always patient. I wasn't always, considerate of someone's opinion, especially if I thought I was right. I don't want to hear anything. You don't really have anything to say. You can just go ahead and be silent. But no. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loves us. And what did he do? And sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The propitiation, the action of appeasing God. My God, the act of gaining or regaining favor or goodwill from God, to appease God. Basically, when Jesus took our place, he pacified the anger of God. He pacified the agitation that God had, oh my God, because we were born in sin. We were the ones that rebelled against God. Oh, come on, somebody. In the garden, sin occurred. The fall of man happened there. But what Jesus did, he was able to be the propitiation for us, to reconcile us back to God, to calm God down, oh my God, to comfort and console my God, to where God would be content, as it were, to be hushed and quiet and soothed, where God would feel delight and gladdened and gratified, ultimately to please God. Hallelujah. Isn't that exciting that God had mercy on you? Oh my God, and you were pointed right back at me. It is exciting that God would have mercy on me. What? Oh, yeah, the Bible says that God was to mark iniquity. Who can stand? Who can say, God, I know from a scale of 100, I got to be somewhere in that 90% percentile. Yeah, right. God said, no, you might be somewhere under the 50%. Matter of fact, you might be under the 10%. Huh? But God is the only one that can make up the difference. The blood of Jesus, my God, the righteousness of Christ imputed to us is what we need. Uh-oh. That's why the light bulb comes on and we realize we're nothing without the Lord. We realize we have to depend on God for absolutely everything. We have to, my God, as we seek the face of God, oh, my God, it's a humility in that thing. You can't just walk up in the presence of the king and say, I demand you answer me about this situation. Wait a minute, hold up. Because you got the guards and everybody saying, no, you can't come into this location of the king right here. You got to go back over there behind that gate thing right there and stand there until you're asked to come in and it's your turn to come in. And my God, if the king holds out his scepter, then you may enter and possibly be able to ask the king a question. But see, but God has broken the veil. He has torn the veil so that we can come boldly to his throne of grace. Mm-hmm. Your couch is your throne. Your couch is your altar. Yeah. Your chair is your altar. My God, when you're laying prostrate on the floor, on the ground before the God with your face to the mat, that's your altar. That's where you can go boldly, meaning humbly. You can go any time of the day, 24 hours in the day, and come before God in sincere humility and ask him for his mercy. Ask him for help. Ask him, oh God, how can I be a better, my God, keeper of my brother, of my sister? Because it's going to take you, my God, to help me, and it's going to take me to help you. If I don't know how, what I got to do? I got to put my face to the mat. Come on, somebody. I got to put my face to the wall. I got to speak the face of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. And God has given me these questions. I know Pastor, you saying, you know, we got to be more interactive. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So the first question is, are you your brother? And I should put sister. Are you your brother and sister's keeper? Yes or no? And explain. But the second question, if God were to look into your heart, would he see that you are or are not your brother or sister's keeper? Question number three, do you know what God is looking for or expected to see with how we interact, communicate, and treat each other in the family of God? Question four, does God approve indifference in his kingdom? Question number five, do you think that the body of Christ missed God's ideal mission to what the kingdom of God should represent? Question six, is God delaying a greater harvest of souls because of division in the church among attendees? Question seven, who's at fault? Why have so many left the church? And the last question, number eight, who's going to go look for those sheep to bring them back to God? It's going to take nobody but God, his spirit, that goes to and fro on the earth. So as we go forth, sincerely seeking the face of God, whether at work, whether at school, whether, however the spirit of God will lead you, that one-on-one, they say one-on-one evangelism, when you, God has you, my God, face to a soul that has left God or doesn't want to go to church or doesn't want to have anything to do because of the experiences they may have experienced. What can we say to them to for them to have their heart turned, to not say give God a chance, but to really realize that their soul is in need of the salvation of God? This message, I pray, will prick the hearts of each and every one of us, people and children of God, that we say, Lord, you know, yeah, I may not be able to reach a certain loved one or what have you, but God has let me know that different ones have been calling me and texting me. And I said, Lord, wow. And this is this unique, a divine appointment of connection that I'm realizing amongst my loved ones. And just in unique times, and I don't know for what we're all going through, but seize the moment. Don't take it lightly. When God's spirit is moving, move quickly. Go with God with that day. We don't have to be caught up in debate. We don't have to be caught up in weighing each other down heavily, talking each other down. We have like 3 or 4 hours. But it's like, God, give me what to say at that time. It may just be a hug. It may just be a, I'm praying for you. So genuinely do be praying for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I pray this message pricked hearts tonight. As we're going forth, God told Abraham, walk before me perfect, walk before me mature, walk before me knowing I'm with you. I'm with you to help you make it through this. I've told you what I want to do in your life. I want to prosper you. I want you to be blessed. I want, my God, your seed to be blessed. I want the generations to be blessed. And how is that? By our faith in God. Abraham was a father of many. And he was known because of his faith. It's going to take faith. It's going to take our actions, our reactions, and our responses. It's going to take our humility and our willingness. Hallelujah. No one said it was going to be easy, but God said, go. Go. And he'll go before us, and he'll lead us in this journey as we go forth into the kingdom. The operation of the working mighty hand of God. Let's give God a praise for the message tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you love God, stop hating me. Yeah, you can say that to me. Charlene, if you love God properly, Charlene, stop hating me. I'll be like, how am I hating you? What have I done that makes you feel that I hate you? This miscommunication, this misunderstanding. But we must show love and treat each other with the love of God, with my God, considering ourselves if we were in that situation, considering ourselves if it was me, or considering yourself if it was you in that situation.
Hallelujah. If you love God, stop hating me. Amen. Hallelujah. The lines are open. If anyone wants to respond to the message or any other questions, you're welcome. If not, it's okay. I will go into prayer because it is on my heart to take for the body of Christ. Truly, God has had us on gurneys at times. God has had us sitting at the table with the table set.
Yes,
God
Lord.
Has had us,
yes, Lord.
My God, at the altar with our hearts poured out before him. God
Jesus.
Has had us in different situations where he said, come on into the room. I want to talk to you. Well, you feel like, uh-oh, God's about to scold us. God's about to thank us. But God has uses these different dynamics to let us know that he's correcting those that he loves. And I'm going to say this before I close out. The Lord began to deal with me about...
Can you hear me?
Joel, that he said that, you know, he will restore the years that the canker worm has eaten, the canker worm and the pommel worm and the locust and all that. And then he took me to Zephaniah when he began to talk about the year of the Lord, the terrible day of the Lord, the judgment of, you know, of God, the day of God. And I was like, Lord, he brought that to let me know, yes, he wants to restore. He wants to, my God, reclaim, and he wants to replenish, and he wants to strengthen, and he wants to heal and comfort his church. But he also wants us to be mindful and careful that, yes, the crescendo is going unto the day of the Lord. So God, my God, is trying to keep us alert and to watch and to be careful before his presence in his face. Oh, my God, that we're doing what is pleasing in his sight. Hallelujah.
My God.
And that's all I got right now. That's all I have right now. And I pray that God is glorified and pleased and that the saints in the body of Christ are edified. Oh, I didn't know my phone was skipping. I just seen this text. I'm sorry about that.
No, you're good. No, that was earlier. Can you hear me? Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. That was earlier. The other side of that, it all calmed down because of prayer. Put the prayer warriors on it, and the word went forth. I tell you, this is examination night. Check yourself before you wreck yourself and start looking at yourself a little bit more deeper. And it's not so much about being wrong. It's about being right.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to what I said. It's not so much about being wrong, because you're going to discover some things in your life that you're wrong about. But the most important thing is about being right. So I'm encouraged. Your word hit me, sparked a fire in me to say, don't look at the wrong, but look at the right and do right. Then you don't have to worry about the wrong.
Yes.
Pastor Terry, women speak now and be heard. Come on, woman of God.
Praise the Lord. Good evening, my beautiful family. Prophetess Charlene, what a word of word. If you love God, stop hating me. I was saying, as you was ministering, I was saying, my God, all he told us is to love him with our all and love one another as we love ourselves. But then, like Pastor E was saying, this is a thing of self-examining. Do we love ourselves? Are we obedient to his word to love one another as we love ourselves? First of all, we have to love ourselves. If not, we're disobedient to his word. Glory to God, my sister. Good word. You go all the way back to Genesis. Whew, the brothers. Brothers. And I always say, Pastor Charlene, when we love comes easy. It takes a lot to be hating on a person. It takes a lot to hate people. Love comes easy. When God is in you, you will love. So praise God. We love you. We appreciate you, too. God be the glory. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Love you, too. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Nope, love you more. Love you more. Love you more.
Oh, love you too, Pastor E.
Love you more. Love you more. Love you more. Love you more.
Love you more. Love you more.
No, come on, let's fight. Let's have a love fight. Love you more. Love you
more. Love, love, love,
love. Let love have its perfect way.
Yes.
But when it comes to love, this is going back to getting up in your thinking. Now, you know we're teaching each phase of wake up, get up, move in your purpose. The first month of January, the season, we taught on wake up in your mind. Now we're talking about getting up in your thinking. And the one thing that was really directed, and it, you know, as I've said, you probably say, oh, he said that before, but the universe, the unifying principle is love. But
yes.
In Philippians chapter 2, as you, if you join us tomorrow, you'll hear the second part. But it says, if there is any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Y'all probably going to hear a sermon out of this chapter Sunday. But fulfill my joy by being like-minded and having the same love.
Mm-hmm.
Love is so important to be discovered with. I cannot have a relationship with you, Charlene, Carrie, or anybody else out there, and try to experience love without going through the training of love.
Right.
If that makes any sense. So love has to go to another level. It has to go to another place. I know you have experience of love in this world. I have many. Lord, forgive me. Becky already has. Pastor Terry has one or two. Whatever. We all have experiences of love, but we now know that that was not true love.
Mm-hmm.
Don't laugh at me. You better stop. But anyway,
we all have experiences
of our own love, but to know the really love of God.
Right.
Fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love.
Yes.
That's when we start to really grow, because I love you in your mess.
Right.
As a matter of fact, I should love you more in your mess than I love you in your glory. Ponder on that, y'all. I'm going to let it go. Good word, woman of God. Anybody else? We got a few more minutes left if you guys want to get in on the conversation. Come on, dial one. I'll throw you under the bus if you would like, but no. Prophetess, go ahead. What's going on in San Diego? Anything that we should be praying with you, and how can we support you?
Ooh, thank you, Jesus. You know, the soul winning venture that God has put me in my spirit, you know, the pandemic's going on. So, you know, it's just about the location that I know there's different locations. I can't say it right now. There's different locations God has let me see that there will be nice path gatherings, you know, because people go to those areas where they go shopping and everything. And so I see like a few places that would be perfect for the outreach, you know, where people are, you know, like the trolley stations, the different locations. But the team, I'm asking God for the team to do this thing. That's what I'm asking God for.
Well, can I join?
Yeah, you're more than welcome to join. Because I'm going to tell you
I
what.
I want to be the point guard. Let me be the point guard. Let me be the point guard. Come on. Let me be the point guard on the team. I want to be on the team.
Yeah, it's something, because I know that it's when you're out there, it is like the soul winning. What I mean is, like, you know, the testimony. We have to have people in line that is willing to give a testimony. You know, like maybe 1 or 3 minutes of their testimony, because somebody's going to be around there walking around their shop and they're going to hear that. You know what I'm saying? As we're inviting them to come in and hear the word of God and hear exhortation, but to know that, you know, there's people that God has, just like them, that they see him going into the store, you know what I'm saying, they can share with them, hey, this salvation thing is real. God called me out of this. God called me out of that. Because, you know, we do church. We go to church. I can't speak for a lot of people's churches now, but testimony service has been cut out. You know what I'm saying? Of some churches.
You know what? Check this out.
I can't speak for everybody else.
Can I give you a word that just dropped when you were talking?
Mm-hmm.
Revival.
Yes, Lord.
That's
yes,
it.
Lord.
That's it. So set it up. Get you pick the corner. And we're going to come to San Diego, and we're going to bring the music. We don't need no power. We're going to bring power with us. We're going to set up. You pick the corner. We're going to come down there, and let's have a street revival in your arena.
Amen.
And let's do it.
Okay, I already know who I need to speak to for these locations, and they're prime areas where people are always over there in those areas
all the time. Make it happen.
Amen.
And we're gonna bring the team. We're gonna bring the team and support you, and have a good time. I love San Diego. Oh yes, I do. But we're gonna come down and support you.
Amen. They have bleachers. So some of them have bleachers, so that it's good because they can be spaced and all that stuff, you know what I'm saying? And it's outside. So, you know, you can't go wrong with that.
You put that together, and we're going to come. We're going to come, and we are going to support. We're going to bring our sound system and a couple of rappers and singers. And we're going to bring the team, and we're going to come down there and let's do it.
Okay. Amen.
It's revival time.
I'm talking about suddenly.
It is revival.
That's right.
We got to do it. Yes, Pastor Terry, you will be going. I'm coming to the point of park. I'm going to sit in front of your apartment until you get in the car. But anyway, love you guys. Pray us out. I want to say this. I need you to put this on your calendars. And yes, Prophetess, I need you to make one of these events. March 20th, it is the Now Church California Church Anniversary. March 27th is Pastor E's anniversary. I would like to invite you, let's see. I would like to invite you to come and do praise and worship on the 20th.
Okay,
so I'm
going to
put you on Front Street in front of everybody else. You can come and do praise and worship.
Oh, Jesus.
On the 20th,
okay,
Pastor DJ, Pastor DJ will be bringing the word on the 20th.
Okay.
Now you guys know DJ as a recording artist, but DJ has a word in him, and yes, he gonna sing, but he would definitely be preaching on the 20th. I dare you to come and do praise and worship on the 20th. I need two songs.
Okay, amen. Glory to God.
But put together San Diego, and the Now Church P2P community development is coming. I'm coming. We're gonna put all the speakers, all the mics, all the gear, just like you saw us on the beach down there making noise. We're gonna come to you and make noise.
Okay, so quick question: would I have to have a permit for that? All right, I'm gonna call the people.
Call me offline. Call me offline.
Okay.
Yep.
Amen.
Pray us out of here.
Okay, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, O God, for what you put in my spirit and you put in the body of Christ right now, Lord God, to get out of the four walls, Lord God, to go out and to reach and to speak forth and encourage souls to come into, O God, your kingdom, Lord God, to know, God, that you are a God that is looking for hearts to be delivered and healed and comforted, O God. And it's a serious thing, God, when we talk about salvation. But, God, I'm asking, God, you prepare us and anoint us, God, for the work, O God, that you have prepared us to do, Lord God. And for each moment, each location, every place you will send us, Lord God, that you will meet us there, Lord God, that you will be glorified, that you will move like never before, God, that lives will be changed forever. My God, from out of the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of your Son, Lord. And I'm asking it full of faith. And everybody that's on fire for God, ready for the things that God has already foretold, said, do it, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Mighty.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Evangelist, get you a ticket. Come out here for Evangelist Virginia. I want to go ahead and put that invitation. Get a ticket for the 20th or the 27th. We're going to make sure you got somewhere to stay. You ain't got to worry about no transportation. You're going to eat because I'm going to make sure you fed. Come on out here for the and you can do whatever you want to do in either one of those celebrations. And I see my sister Bridget on here. Girl, come to California on a vacation on March 20th. No. March 27th. That is your brother's anniversary. Come out here. You can stay with me. I got an extra, whatever you need. I don't even bring no clothes. I'll even clothe you.
Awesome.
I'll feed you. I'll house you. I'll take care of you. Come on out here and spend time with your brother on his anniversary, March 27th. Real talk. Hey, I love you guys.
Amen.
God bless you.
Awesome.
Know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated. But the most important thing, know that you are God's greatest miracle. We love you.
God bless you.